Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a
sleeper. Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy
in a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Nikki Javala of the Washington Post wrote a piece, Commander's Stunning Season Explained in 10 Stats. And she's got 10 numbers here we can go through and look at that define their season. The first is 33 years. Of course, it's been 33 years. You got to go back to 1991 to find the last time Washington won 12 games. Mark Rypien, Gary Clark, Pro Bowlers, 14-2 team, went on to win the Super Bowl. This year, it was Jaden Daniels and Terry McLaurin, and now they enter the playoffs trying to do the same thing that was done way back in 91.
1991, man. Just my eyes full of hope, flat top haircut, hitting nukes in McLaurin Little League. Just a different lifetime ago, dude. That's 33 years.
Plus 8 in the win column. We talked about this on the show on Monday, but the 8-win improvement for the Commanders from their 4-win season to a 12-win season. The first time that's happened in the NFL since 2019, that a team has gotten 8 games better year over year. The last team to do it was the 49ers, and they actually got 9 wins better from 4-12 to 13-3, going from 2018 to 2019. Just an unbelievable overhaul, starting with the ownership group having their first crack at an offseason. Because if people forgot, you know, our see you later party to Dan Snyder when he actually sold was in the summer.
Yep.
Right out here at the bullpen. The ownership group really effectively took over right before training camp. Remember, their first order of business, this was a year ago, going into the Ron Rivera, Sam Howell final season as a regime. Mm-hmm. They put those stands up and got some seating at training camp for people kind of overnight after they bought the team. But this was the first time this past offseason, hiring Peters, hiring Quinn, getting ready for the draft, the free agency period. This was their first crack at running a team. How'd it go?
Yeah, pretty swimmingly, I would say. Usually what happens, and I've been talking about this for a while, and you and I have kicked this around, is the first year for a new regime, GM, coach, when everybody comes in brand new, it's a bunch of the old guard hanging around, a bunch of losers. There's not much you can do. You spend the whole year basically identifying, is there anybody here we want to keep as you go 5-12, maybe 6-11 with a couple of veterans to try to help usher things in? That's frankly what I anticipated. I thought this would be a 6 or 7-win team. That's what Vegas thought. That's what their over-under was in most books, 6.5, 7 wins, somewhere in there. Because that's what's typical. That's what's normal. You're just a little bit more competitive, a little bit more professional. You get a chance to maybe win a couple of games here and there. Not this. They won 12 bleeping games. Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
28.5 points is listed here next among the stats that tell the season for the Commanders. That's their average per game. They were top 5 in the NFL in scoring offense. But their 28.5 points per game were the most in NFL history by a team with a rookie as a starting quarterback. Think about that.
Yeah.
Nobody's ever done that. And scoring was up a little bit in the NFL this year, but still, top 5 in scoring. It's been a long, long time around here. The last time they had a prolific offense was probably 2016.
That was a good offense, yeah.
Kirk Cousins threw for 4,900 yards, mm-hmm. which is one of the 10 or so highest totals at that time. I think it was like 7th, 8th highest total in league history. But they had some awesome performances. Jamison Crowder, Jordan Reed. Their passing game was pretty dynamic. Running game was okay. But it had been since then, really, about 9 years mm-hmm. since they had an offense that was must-see. And this one, in so many ways, surpassed that one.
It basically did because of Jaden Daniels, for goodness sakes, right? I mean, even in times where the offense wasn't humming, where it wasn't clicking, you still, hey, he's going to run around and do something that you've only seen a couple of times in NFL history. You know what I mean? Like the Griffin highlight run against Minnesota or some of those fourth down plays. He's doing that plus you got other stuff too. You know what I mean? It's just, again, I'm running out of hyperbolic words to describe how remarkable this whole thing is.
Yeah, there's a couple of Daniel stats coming up here in these 10 that summarize the season. 16 consecutive scoring drives. I think people forget that that happened.
That's when the offense was just humming.
That was the no punts offense. Yeah. Shirt still available at the 106.7 The Fan merch shop. But from the fourth quarter of Washington's season opening loss at Tampa Bay in week one to the second quarter of week four against Arizona. So that's the entire Giants game week two, the entire Bengals game week three, the opening quarter of, and by the way, the majority of, only a couple of punts in that game, the week four game against Arizona, they did not punt. 16 straight drives. The streak kept Tressway sitting on the bench. We had him on the show and joked that he's now just a holder. We asked him what he's doing during the games because we hadn't seen him in so long. We just wanted to make sure he was still on the team.
Can you still punt, dude? We don't know.
Feels like a long time ago now, early in the season. You mentioned Daniels, 69% of his passes complete. That is a rookie record, highest ever by a first-year player. Third highest among Washington quarterbacks in a single season behind Sammy Baugh in 1945. And in the modern era, 2015 Kirk Cousins completed 69.8% of his passes. And the other record that Jaden Daniels set, and I don't mean organizationally, but for all rookie quarterbacks ever, 891 rushing yards.
Mm-hmm.
Daniels surpassing Robert Griffin's record internally here in the organization, but second among quarterbacks this season behind only Lamar Jackson with 915 as he rushed for more yards in a rookie year than any QB ever has.
Plus with a game and, you know, 90% of another game missed, just wasn't quite right for a while as well, with some low rushing totals where he clearly didn't have the burst or explosiveness. That much more remarkable, man. It became necessary, not just a convenience, not just a fun thing to have, but we'll go to the next stat here in a moment, but they couldn't run the ball any other way. He became their best rusher.
Yeah. I mean, he was their leading rusher for the year and in the majority of the games down the stretch. I mentioned this Monday. We talked about it for a short time, but in their game against the Cowboys to end the season, their leading rusher was a quarterback. Their second leading rusher was also a quarterback. Mariota and Daniels, who played half of the game each, were their leading rushers. I mean, it's just, it's not sustainable.
Right.
In fact, Toby was just telling me, he's been crunching a bunch of numbers, and we could bring on Toby, he can give the number, but it's like 50-some yards per game over 9 weeks, it sounds like, which I keep talking about the last four games. I'm harping on that. 3.1 yards per carry by running backs, 2.8 for Brian Robinson, but it goes back way further if you exclude the Tennessee game. What were you saying, Toby?
Yeah, so they've ran for 82 yards per game since the three-game losing streak, non-quarterback rush yards. If you take out that really good Titans game, they've only averaged 60 rush yards non-quarterbacks.
And did you mention something about the last 9 games?
Yeah, that's the last 8 games. Really.
So that's
there you
eight
go, over,
post
yeah.
losing streak. So 55 to 60 yards in a game normally is reserved for the teams that can't really run the ball. And that's like we ran it 14, 15 times just to kind of make sure we did it. That was never the goal here. That was not the plan. That was not the MO. This is a run-first team. Now, with Jaden running wild, it's okay. If he goes out and gets you 60, 70, 80 yards in a game, well, now you add that to your 60 and you're at 140 and you're probably a top 10 rushing offense in the league still. But you can't need that every single week.
Right.
You want him to stay in the pocket and, I don't know, throw the ball and make some plays in the passing game.
It's got to be a feature, not what's required.
Yeah, you want to minor in the quarterback runs, not major in them like they have so much of late. Here's a really good stat from this piece in the Post. 10 statistics that summarize the Commanders' season. 6 touchdowns in the final minute and overtime. And if you look at the numbers, Jaden Daniels was one of the highest-rated, most prolific quarterbacks in the league at the end of games. But I got to say, we got our first crack at seeing somebody else, and Marcus Mariota did the same damn thing. And not to take away from Jaden Daniels, but it's not like it was just a JD thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Mariota was exceptional in the Cowboys stretch run and throws the game-winning touchdown in the waning seconds. But if you go through it, the 52-yard Hail Mary touchdown to Noah Brown in Week 8, the 5-yard touchdown to Zach Ertz with 31 seconds left in the loss to Philly in Week 11. The 86-yard touchdown pass to Terry McLaurin with 33 seconds to go in the loss to Dallas in Week 12. Daniels against Philadelphia, the dart to Jamison Crowder in the Week 16 victory. How about overtime against the Falcons where he puts the team on his back and just goes full high school quarterback mode in Week 17. And then you've got Ertz in the end zone to clinch the playoff berth to win that game. And this past week, the sixth one of the season for this team, Mariota to McLaurin, 5-yard touchdown, 6 seconds to play. I think when the play was over, there was 2 seconds left to punch their ticket as the sixth seed.
They've been in these games. They've had the ball. And when you've got that playmaking ability at quarterback, that can happen. I mean, defenses are basically so terrified of, frankly, everything in those hurry-up offenses. And they've got so much practice in it, too, right? I mean, so much of their offense is tempo kind of throughout the season. So they're very comfortable in those situations, as obvious by the production.
This one's great. 87% conversion rate on fourth down this year. 20 of 23 on fourth down. And again, I give Daniels the majority of the credit. It's a small sample to try to say anything else. Mariota on fourth and one with no Daniels kept the football and went for 33 against Dallas, their final fourth down conversion of the season. But they converted at least one fourth down in 13 games, which they have done in only one other season ever in the 2000s. They were so good on fourth down.
So good at it.
They got a cheat code, just like the Ravens have had for years. How many Ravens games have you watched over the last decade? And you see Lamar telling Harbaugh,
like, John's like, you want to go for it? He does.
Keep those guys off the sideline. We're doing this. They got their own now. Uh-huh. They got their cheat code. 13 touchdowns. That's McLaurin setting the franchise record for touchdown catches by a receiver. Well earned by a guy who has just been Mr. Washington football since the day he showed
up. Had to grind through garbage throwing him the football for so many years. Now he's having some fun.
Team names, bad quarterbacks.
Yep, all of it.
He's gone through the ringer. And then this one, not talked about much, but kudos to Bobby Wagner. 100 tackles in a 13th consecutive season. Joins London Fletcher as the only players who have ever done that. Fletcher actually did it 14 straight years.
What a really helpful player he was. He's not the same guy that was a superstar a handful of years ago. That's obvious. That's why he's available to you on a short-term deal, but has solidified that position. Stable. Is pretty effective as a blitzer, sure tackler. Maybe can't run quite as well as before, but still a really, really useful player. Majorly upgraded that spot.
Just such a great leader.